Acts chapter number 27 is a very familiar passage to many of us. If it's not familiar, I trust by the end of the day it will be. But we find the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest Christian men who ever lived. He finds himself going through a storm. He finds himself going through trouble. And many of us have been through a storm. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about, in the book of Job, the Bible talks about how man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. All of us have been through storms. All of us have been through struggles. And the Apostle Paul is somebody that has been through many struggles in his life. As a matter of fact, if you got your Bibles there, verse number 13 of our text says, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat." And so here's what's going on in the text right now. The Apostle Paul has been arrested. He's somebody that spent his life trying to preach the gospel to everybody. He wanted to serve the Lord. He wanted to do the best he could to live in the will of God. Y'all going to have to pray for me. I'm used to walking around. I'm going to have to stand still. So if my leg starts to wander or something, you'll understand why. But the Apostle Paul found himself in the middle of the storm. Isn't it interesting that he was somebody that was in the will of God? He was somebody that was trying to serve God, yet he found himself in this difficult situation. He found himself in this storm. And I know out there today, there are many of you and myself, we're trying to live for God. We're trying to do the best we can to serve God. And there are storms come even in the will of God. My father-in-law is a pastor up in New Jersey. And he talks about this often. As a Christian, it doesn't get rid of our problems. It doesn't get rid of our difficulties. But often it adds to our problems. It adds to our difficulties. But here in this text, we find the Apostle Paul going through this difficult time. He gives us several things that we can learn from as he's going through the shipwreck, as he's going through the storm. Some things that I think will be a help to you this morning and encouragement to you as he goes through these storms. All of us here in the parking lot, being from Florida, storms are no secret to us. They're nothing new. As a matter of fact, if you're a Floridian, you know that you don't say Hurricane Andrew, you don't say Hurricane Francis or Hurricane Jean. If you've been through hurricanes and storms, you just say it's Andrew, it's Francis, and it's Jean. Because you've been through storms, you've been through difficulty. But the Apostle Paul gives us a guide to the storm. When it's hurricane season, the news will put out a guide, things that you need to get. You need to get batteries for your flashlight. You need to get water. You need to get canned food and those different types of things. Well, aren't you glad for the Word of God this morning that gives us a guide, some things that we can follow after when we're going through a storm? I know during these times, many of us have been facing difficult circumstances, things that we did not choose for ourselves. We have things that are difficult in our families, things that are difficult in our finances and our health and different things like that. But God does not leave you alone. He does not leave you to face the storm on your own. He's there in the midst of the storm. One of the greatest promises in all the Word of God is fear not. And whatever you're going through, whatever difficulty you find today, fear not, God says. He's with you. And the Apostle Paul gives us some things I want us to look at this morning. Let's pray together, may we? Father, I thank you again for the opportunity to open up the Word of God. We're reminded today that it's the Bible that doesn't return void. It's the Word of God that doesn't return void. I pray, Lord, as we enter into the message, that you'd cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Lord, may I be filled with your Spirit. May I speak with thus saith the Lord. I pray you'd speak to those in need this morning. Lord, for those who are discouraged, might you encourage them. For those who are hurting, may you help them. Lord, may you be near them. And we'll thank you. Thank you for Jesus who died for us on the cross. In his name we pray. Amen. We find the first thing in verse number 21, if you want to look at it. The Bible says, But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." We find the first thing here of what Paul does as he presses through the storm. Number one is abide in the presence of God. Abide in the presence of God. Aren't you glad today that the Bible talks about how we have a God that will never leave us nor forsake us? The Bible says in Psalm 139, all through the Psalm, it talks about how He knows our ways. He knows our downsitting. He knows our uprising. He knows the thoughts of our minds, the words of our mouths. He knows everything. There's nothing that you can go through. There's nothing that you can deal with that God doesn't know about. And He's there right in the middle of your storm. He's there right in the middle of your difficulty and in your problem. The first place that the Apostle Paul went to was not on Facebook to tell everybody about his problems. The first place that the Apostle Paul went was into the presence of God. Think about it. Psalm 61, the Bible says, when I am overwhelmed, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Aren't you glad that when you're going through the storm and when you're going through the wind and the waves and all the difficulty and all the trouble, you have a God that you can go to that is concerned, that knows what's going on in your life, and He wants to do something about it. He wants to be there in the midst of the battle with you. You have a God that knows your problems, and He's there. The Bible talks about how He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We may not be able to see His hand, but you can trust His heart in the middle of your storm. Paul found himself after long abstinence. You know, if I was on a cruise ship, I would probably find myself at the buffet table or one of the ice cream stations. Probably at the buffet table, but I would find myself at one of those places. But Paul found himself in the presence of God. He sought God. He went to God. God, I need your help. And he sought the Lord, and the Lord answered his prayer. When you find yourself in the midst of trouble, when you find yourself in the midst of the storm, God is there. And sometimes we say these things as Christian. Yes, I know that God will never leave me. God will never forsake me. But God is there. We never get over the fact that God is in the midst of your trouble and He's with you everywhere you go. Don't get over that. I remember I'm the youngest brother in my family. And as a child, I got picked on by my older brothers occasionally. You know, I remember my oldest brother, Paul, he would throw me down on the ground sometimes and he would pin my arms down. And he would start to hit on my chest, give me the 99 nails that Rick Blaylock did to me when I got saved. But I remember my brother doing that, and I would scream, "Ah, stop it!" And he would get on me, and he'd start punching me in the chest, just being a good older brother. That's what older brothers do. And I'd scream, yell my lungs out, wondering where my mom and where my dad were, because my brother was beating up on me. But my brother would continue to beat up on me, but occasionally, when my dad was home and he wasn't working, he would hear my cries. He'd come to the room and my brother wouldn't see him. But all of a sudden, my crying turned to a smile because I knew that my dad was watching the whole thing and he was about to do something about it. You know what? You have a father that is with you in the midst of your deepest, darkest times. And when you find yourself going through the middle of the storm, find yourself going to the rock that is higher than you are. Go to the presence of God. He knows where you are. He doesn't need OnStar. He doesn't need a GPS to find out where you are. He knows exactly where you are. When you find yourself in the storm, go to the presence of God. Abide in His presence. Abide in the presence of God. Secondly, this morning, not only abiding in His presence, but abounding in His promises. Do you realize you and I have been given the Word of God, an amazing book that we have, written over a period of 1,500 years by over 40 different authors, yet with one same message that Jesus died for us, His plan to redeem the world. But God's Word is filled with His promises. I love the Word of God, how it tells us about His promises. Look, please, if you would, in your Bibles at verse number 23. The Bible says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Look at verse number 25, I like it. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Drop down to verse number 44. The Bible says, "And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped, all safe to land." We find that God gives a promise and God keeps His promise. When the Bible says that my grace is sufficient for thee, when you're going through troubles and trials, He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He keeps that promise. His grace is always sufficient for you. When He says that He'll never leave you nor forsake you, He keeps His promise. Even though you may not be able to see Him through the circumstances and through the clouds, He keeps His promise. It doesn't matter how you and I feel, God still keeps His promises because His word never changes. I know these are things that you and I have heard before, but these are things that still reign true. These are things that we can still take to the bank, put our trust in and hope in. We can hope in the good word of God. Aren't you glad for the word of God today? It's a powerful word. It's a perfect word. It's a promised word. It's a preserved word for us this morning. And when God says it, He means it. He said what He meant, and He meant what He says. I'm thankful this morning for the promises of God. I'm thankful that God keeps His word. I wouldn't be standing here today if God didn't keep His word. I'm thankful for the Bible. So many times, I feel like when we go through troubles, we run to everybody else. But God has His promises for us. We'll run to Facebook. We'll run to Instagram. We'll run and listen to Oprah Winbag or Dr. Phil or something like that. But we have the inspired, inerrant Word of God that has been given to us, has been given for us, and it's all full of the promises of God from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And we can trust His promises. I'd like you to look at verse 25 again. I love what it says. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. You know something? Paul's going through a difficult storm. People were fearing for their lives, but Paul says even in the midst of the most difficult time of his life, he says, be of good cheer. You know, he could be happy, he can have joy in Christ because Christ never changes. Our circumstances, they change. The things that we go through, they go up and they go down, but Christ never changes. Paul placed his trust in the unchanging character of the God of the Bible, and you and I can do the very same thing. Love what the Bible says. You can be of good cheer today because God keeps His promises. There's a third thing that we look at in our text. Not only abide in the presence of God, abound in His promises, but we find that we can acclaim Him praise. Thirdly, I'd like you to look at verse number 35. The Bible says, and when He had thus spoken, He took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when He had broken it, He began to eat. I have underlined in my Bible that He gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. Keep in mind, they're going through a very difficult time. Again, they're going through this storm. The Bible calls it Euroclodon, literally wind and waves. The storm was so powerful that they couldn't navigate through it. The Bible says that they were driven. The wind and the waves put the boat wherever that it wanted to go. The storm was powerful, but yet in the middle of the storm, the Apostle Paul is giving thanks for what he already had. You know what? It's a good idea in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of trial, in the midst of things that are going on in your life, whether good, bad, or ugly, you can give thanks and you can praise the Lord. We have so much to be thankful for here in this church. You have so much to be thankful for in your family. Aren't you thankful for a church that you can go to? Aren't you thankful for a Bible that you can read and God speaks to your heart? Aren't you grateful for the Holy Spirit of God that guides you and helps you and points you to the Scriptures? Aren't you grateful for the country that we get to live in? Aren't you grateful for the promises of God and for who God is? Don't forget that our God's not dead. Our God's not squeezing a stress ball. Our God's not wringing His hands wondering what's going to happen next in this world and in our country and even in your family. We have a God that knows every bit of our problems, every bit of our difficulty. And there is something that you can find in the character of God and you can praise Him. Amen. You can find something to praise God about in every circumstance. It's the God that we have. We praise Him for what He does. We worship Him because of who He is. He is the Creator God. Anything that's going on in your life, if it's big enough to concern you, it's big enough to concern Him. We have a God that is praiseworthy in every circumstance of our life. Paul's giving thanks in the middle of the storm. God wants to hear you sing, even in the valley. God wants to hear you sing. Abide in the presence of God, abound in His promises, acclaim Him praise. Fourthly, this morning, analyze the problem. If you look, please, in verse number 18 of our text, the Bible says this, and we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. If you drop down to verse number 38, the Bible says this, "And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea." You know what I find out going on here? The sailors, the Apostle Paul, they're taking inventory of the things that are on the ship. And the things that are not important, the things that are weighing them down, they're throwing them overboard. You know what? The storms that you and I go through, that's a good time to take inventory. Ask the Holy Spirit of God to take inventory of your own life. Maybe there's some things that are there that shouldn't be there that need to be tossed overboard. Things that you can do without, things that you don't need. Over in Hebrews chapter number 12, you don't have to turn there, but Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," the Bible says this, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." The writer here in Hebrew is saying, let us lay aside the weights and let us lay aside the sins. The Bible says in Psalm 139, "Search me and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." What I'm saying today is these sailors and the Apostle Paul, they took inventory of what was on the ship, and there's some things that they didn't need, some things that they could do without, some things that were weighing them down, and they took those things and kicked them overboard. They didn't need him. Even in our text, we find they're throwing the food overboard. I would probably throw people overboard before I threw food overboard. Amen. That's just the way I am. But they were throwing things overboard that were weighing them down. Let us lay aside the weight and the sin. When I was a sophomore at Jupiter High School, I tried out for the basketball team. A buddy of mine, Sean, and I, we tried out for the team there. And he brought these terrible things from Walmart. They were ankle weights and wrist weights. And he said, "Why don't we train with those things?" And so I put those weights on my ankles and put those weights on my wrist. And we began to run up and down Indian Town Road, down Tony Penna, just jogging and running and trying to maneuver with those weights on our ankles and weights on our wrists. But you know what? When it came time for the tryouts, we got rid of the weights and we got rid of all the things that were holding us back. And it was totally different. You know, in our lives, there's sometimes we need to lay aside the weights. And a storm is a time that we can take inventory. What needs to be here and what's not important? What can I do without? What sin can we throw overboard? What thing that is weighing us down can we put into the ocean? That's what these sailors and the Apostle Paul did. They analyzed the problem. What can we go without? Then lastly this morning, we were talking about abiding in His presence, abounding in His promises, acclaiming Him praise, analyzing the problem, but lastly, acknowledging the purpose. I was so blessed this morning by Brother Tolson's song. Reminds me that God knows what He's doing, that God's not wondering what's going to happen next. He's not scared. He's not afraid. He's not going for retirement. He's not on sabbatical. God knows what He's doing. We'll keep reading in our text here. If you'll go to chapter 28 and read with me down in verse number 8. The Bible says in chapter 28 of Acts, in verse number 8, "It came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed." We find out what's happening next. God kept His promises as He always does. God does what He says He's going to do. And they make it to this island of Mileta, where the Bible says that there's a barbarous people in verse number 2. "And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness." That simply means that this people group at this island was unknown. It was an unknown people group to the writers. It was an unknown people group to the sailors. They didn't know who these people were. We find that Paul is in the present rain and the cold. We find that a snake fastens on his hands and he throws it into the fire. And God's working even in that situation. In the darkest times of your life, in the darkest times of our country, God is still at work. We find that the Apostle Paul goes into this man, the father of Publius. He lays sick of a fever and a bloody flux. He has this disease. As far as we know from the text, he has no help. There's no doctor that's been able to do anything about it. But Paul goes in to this man. And the Bible says this. I want you to look at it again in our text. Verse number 8 of chapter 28. "And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in," and the Bible says this, "and prayed and laid hands on him and healed him." Using our sanctified imagination, I want you to think about this. When we pray in Jesus' name. By comparing Scripture with Scripture, we know that when we pray, we ought to pray in His name. It's entirely possible that as Paul prayed, he prayed in the name of Christ. And don't you think it's possible that the people at that island said, "Well, who is this Jesus you talk about?" And no doubt the Apostle Peter had the gospel on his lips. The Bible said more people came and more people were healed. Any people that had the disease, they came and they were healed by the Apostle Paul. And there's no doubt in my mind that the gospel was given on this island of this unknown people group. Acknowledge that God has a purpose in your storm. I love the verse Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28. It's my favorite verse in the Bible. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God or the called according to His purpose. You have a faithful promise right there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. You know what? It doesn't matter what the governor says. It doesn't matter what President Trump says or any law. It doesn't matter if the deacons vote so or if I win the lottery so. The Bible says, and we know. That means that you know for a sure thing. You can take it to the bank 100% that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. You can trust God that all things work together for good. It's a faithful promise. It brings forth a fruitful process. As we take our steps, God knows what He's doing and He's putting the puzzle pieces together. When I was a kid, I used to watch Bob Ross, the painter. That big afro, I wish I had the hair like that. And he'd get up there, I'd get up there with my Fruit Loops and I'd watch him. And as he painted his picture, he would say, "Good morning, today we're going to paint. And we're going to paint a forest with a river and mountains in the background." And oh, I'd get so excited. I can't wait to see what was going to happen next. And he would start to paint. And at first, I'd be like, "All right, Bobby, these things don't look like they said they were going to look. This doesn't look like a forest. That doesn't look like a river. Those don't look like mountains in the background. What is this? You don't know what you're doing, Bob. You got to make it do what you said." But you know what? If you've ever watched that painting show, you know that inevitably by the end of the show, he would paint exactly that what he said he was going to paint. By the end of the half an hour segment, there you have it with his voice. "There are no mistakes, just happy little accidents," he would say. And he'd have his forest with the river running through, with the birds in the sky and the mountains in the background. I'd had Fruit Loops running down my face and I thought, "Wow, that's amazing." But you know what? In our lives, God is the master painter. And He knows what He's doing. He knows exactly what's going on. You've just got to trust His strokes. You've just got to trust that He knows what He's doing. We find here that you can trust God's purpose because He always knows what He's doing. We find that Paul, during the midst of the most difficult times of his life, that he would abide in the presence of God. He abounded in His promises. He acclaimed Him praise, he analyzed the problem, and he acknowledged the purpose to be greater. Did you know that you can trust Him? I hope you never get over that fact that He is faithful and that you can put your trust and faith in Him. Sometimes we get away from that. We forget when the circumstances, they come high and they rush against us and we don't know exactly what to do. Don't forget that you have a God who's faithful and He's in your corner and He's working all things together for His good. I'd like you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. We're going to pray. And then pastor's going to come and do the next thing. Father, thank You so much for the good Word of God today. Thank You, Lord, that You work all things together for Your good. And even in my own life, I've seen it over and over again. I pray for those, perhaps, Lord, that are watching, listening, even those who are here in the parking lot, Lord, I pray that You'd be with them, that they would know Your presence, that You would meet their needs. And Father, thank You for the promises of Your Word, Lord. Our feelings go up and down and all around, but Your Word is true. And Your character is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. And we pray, Lord, that You'd work now in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.